Counsels for New Believers. I saw that those who profess the truth should hold the standard high, and induce others to come up to it. I saw that some would have to walk the straight path alone. Their companions and children will not walk the self-denying pathway with them. Patience and forbearance should ever characterize the lives of those lone pilgrims following the example of their blessed Master. They will have many trials to endure, but they have a hope that makes the soul strong, that bears them up above the trials of earth, that elevates them above scorn, derision, and reproach. Those who possess a hope like this should never indulge a harsh, unkind spirit. This will only injure their own souls, and drive their friends farther from the truth. Treat them tenderly. Give them no occasion to reproach the cause of Christ, but never yield the truth to please anyone. Be decided, be fixed, be established, be not of a doubtful mind. Basing her remarks on the vision, she gave some practical counsel concerning the attitudes that should be taken toward close relatives who were unbelieving. But if your companions and children will not come, if you cannot win them to yield to the claims of truth, make their lives here as pleasant as possible, for all they will ever enjoy will be this poor world. But let not your duty to them interfere with your duty to God. Pursue a straightforward course. Let nothing they may do or say provoke an angry word from you. You have a hope that will yield you consolation amid the disappointments and trials of life. Your companions and children who will not be induced to tread the narrow, cross-bearing pathway with you, have not this divine consolation. They should have your pity, for this world is all the heaven they will have. Another phase of instruction given to her will be understood in the light of a comment made by James White in his report of the Lovett's Grove experience. He wrote, "We regard the cause in Ohio in a prosperous condition. There is much wealth among the brethren which we fear will drown many of them in perdition." Continuing her counsel, Ellen White wrote, "I was shown that all who profess the present truth would be tested and tried. Their love for Jesus' coming will be proved, and manifested to others, whether it is genuine. All, I saw, would not stand the test. Some love this world so much that it swallows up their love for the truth. As their treasures here increase, their interest in the heavenly treasure decreases. The more they possess of this world, the more closely do they hug it to them, as if fearful their coveted treasure would be taken from them. The more they possess, the less do they have to bestow upon others, for the more they have, the poorer they feel. Oh, the deceitfulness of riches! They will not see and feel the wants of the cause of God." The philosophy of benevolence was revealed to her. "I saw that God could rain means from heaven to carry on his work, but he never would do this. It is contrary to his plan. He has entrusted men on earth with sufficient means to carry forward his work, and if all do their duty there will be no lack. But some will not heed the call for their means." Then Ellen White was shown the response that should come from the hearts of those entrusted with means. "I saw that they should cheerfully say, 'Here, Lord, is the little of earth's treasures thou hast lent me, take any portion of it, take it all, it is thine. Let me do my part in saving my fellow men, and let me be raised up with the redeemed to dwell with thee forever.'" Tremblingly will such disciples lean upon the strong promises of God. Earth fades before their vision. Heaven magnifies, and no sacrifice is too dear for them to make for the far more, the exceeding, and eternal weight of glory.